Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, so you're real nervous because your father's got a big birthday coming up and your family's throwing a huge party. Everyone in your family is going to be there and you have to give the toast. And you, your whole life, you've had a hard time making your dad laugh. He doesn't think your jokes are funny. But you write the best joke possible for your dad. He is guaranteed to laugh at this joke. And you're going to put it in your speech, and you're going to be the hero of the birthday party. You try out this joke on your SO. And your SO is like, all right, I don't get it. But if you think your dad's going to like it, then go with it. Whatever, I don't care. You're like, all right, no, I got this. So the day of the birthday party, you are like, you know, running around, like getting stuff ready, and your SO is at the bar with your dad. And you're like, it's okay. Like I'll be right back. You two just make conversation. Your SO tells your dad the joke. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
Divorce, breakup.
Right, just immediately.
Okay, I'm getting the feeling that your dad might be a little intimidating.
He is. He's an intimidating man, but your SO has no... You're married in this scenario.
Yeah.
So like your husband has to just like figure it out, right? He just has to like figure out how to talk to your dad.
Yeah, your delivery of the joke trumps them being uncomfortable at the bar.
But it probably wasn't even okay. I think you have to have a conversation before the divorce.
You don't just walk out of the room and never talk to them again?
Yeah, I think you have to talk because I think that yes, it is a. It is not a. It's not a cool move, bro. But like, I think it's a human mistake to get nervous and to say. So, I mean, how good is this joke? How involved is it? Is it a one-liner?
No, it is. It's a multi-stage joke with a punchline that makes a man who never smiles like guffaw, slapping his knees.
Jesus Christ!
Does she take credit for the joke? Does SO take credit?
And so the SO doesn't say, like, you know who wrote that joke. He takes credit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Shit, man. I don't know. That's pretty jacked up because they know that, like, this is, like, in your mind. You're like, oh, this is my way to, like, connect with my dad. I probably have trouble connecting with him. And your SO is aware of this. I just don't understand. I feel like this is so emblematic of like larger issues in the relish.
How do you find out that the joke is blown? Do they let you get to the toast?
No, you find out because you return to the bar to discover your father laughing uproariously.
I don't know. I mean, your dad's an asshole, right? Like, if he never even fake laughs at his own kids' jokes, like...
He does laugh at your older sister's jokes, but not your jokes.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. See, dad is the problem.
Yeah, let's just hope this is his last birthday, you enjoy the rest of your marriage.
I mean, yeah, I think you have to have a conversation with your husband, be like, let's talk this out. But like, yeah, no, dad is the fault. Dad's the one at fault.
If I don't know, man.
Are that it's desperate you're an adult and you feel that much desperation to please this man who never even smiles?
It's such a betrayal from the SO, though.
But it's
okay. But I guess that's a question to me. Is it, like Kelly said, is this symptomatic? Because like she also downplayed it to you. Was she, when she did that, being belittling you? Did you marry this woman because you could never please your father?
Possibly.
Interesting. What is this from?
This is from Happy Endings.
Oh, no. Is this like our, like the OTP of the show that this happens to?
Brad and Jane.
Oh, as a coop. Yeah. My God.
Okay, but that's okay. That makes that me even more his side, because he is a good, they are a good team.
Yes, yeah, they are.
They're a great team. But and he blows this joke.
He screws up. He makes a mistake.
Yeah.
And yes, I would be mad. Of course you can be mad. You gotta cut him some slack.
Yeah, you get mad in the, you know, fun sitcom way where you can wrap it up in 23 minutes.
Right, and you punish him by making him do weird sex stuff.
Yeah, you just like dom him in the bedroom, and then he's like,
it's which over. He likes anyway.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully anyway. That's going happy, on happy. On the regular with those two. Anyhow,
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it's tough though.
Yeah, I mean, you really got to make a decision in that moment.
Do you tell the joke anyway?
You look one day way down the road, and it's covered with woods, and then the other way is cleared.
Yeah.
We're talking crossroad ships on today's episode.
Good job.
And this is because, so there's a Fast and the Furious video game that might be coming out today. I know it's been delayed a couple times. It'll probably be, we're recording so far in advance right now. We have no idea what the world's going to look like in a month.
Yeah, but also the world that we live in is also changing so quickly.
Yes.
That's also why we don't know what the world is going to look like.
Yeah.
But so it's Fast and the Furious Crossroads. So we're just taking the Crossroads part of that. Mm-hmm. Does anyone have a Crossroads ship they would like to share?
I do.
Go for it.
Okay. So I thought about Crossroads and I thought about choices and I thought about Choices Matter video games.
Mm.
Now, have any of you guys played the game Oxenfree?
No.
I have not.
Wow. Wait, have you heard about it?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't played it, Patrick. It seems like very up your alley.
Yeah, I mean, I have to be like in the right headspace to do like a really choice heavy narrative game.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of what this game is. It's like this group of teens go to this like Pacific Northwest islandish type place, and you basically like go through supernatural adventures and make choices, and those things matter. Now, I'm going to do a ship that I think a lot of people will be like, why are you doing this? But I played the game, I was shipping them. And I think it's partially because I do not have a stepbrother. If I had one, I think I would not like it, but I don't have one. So that's just my experience. And that's my life, and don't erase it. So, so you show up on the island, and it's you, and you play as this girl, Alex, who is coming back to this place after her brother died, I believe the year before. And it's like her and her group of friends, and her brother was one of the group of friends, and her brother died the year before. So she's kind of like dealing with this grief. And her parents got divorced because of her brother's death. Okay. So she shows up and she is, along with her, it's her best friend, Ren, who is like, he's smart, he's funny, he's a stoner, and they're like best friends. And he has a crush on this other girl that's like on the island. And then she's also with, and she's just met him that day, her new stepbrother, Jonas. Jonas is funny. He's also dealing with like a trauma in his past. His mom died of cancer. And so his dad is marrying your mom. And so like, this is the first time you're really meeting him. You meet him on the ferry, basically, to this island. And you're kind of like integrating him into your friend group. And I don't know why. I think it's just because like they both have like a trauma in their past and they're trying to find like meaning in life from dealing with like a really hard loss.
How old are you again?
I want to say you're like 18 or 19.
Oh, okay. So young enough to make some mistakes with your stepbrother.
Well, and old enough that you're not like, it's not different if you're living in the same house with someone.
Yeah, no. And it's not VC Andrews. It's like,
well, that's not step.
Right. Not enough shared blood.
Yeah. But I mean, like, if like my mom got married to some guy now.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not 18, but
you could be.
I could be.
If your mom got married to Paul Rudd's dad.
But like if my mom married someone right now and that man had a son.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be looking to date them. But that's not as like weird as if you're, you know, in middle school when you live together.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not in the same household.
Like, I think another thing, too, is that, like, Alex has changed a bit ever since her brother's death. And, like, her relationship with her friends has changed. Because, like, one of her friends was dating her brother. And he was, like, teaching her. He was teaching Alex how to swim when he died. And so, like, Clarissa.
Like, literally?
Yeah. And like Clarissa.
Like, he drowned?
Died in the pool?
He drowned. It's kind of, like, question marks. Like, how did he die? It's kind of vague.
I hope it was in a pool.
No. It was in like, it was at that island. So like very choppy water.
So she's back where her brother died.
Yes.
Ah, jeez Louise.
Yeah. And this girl, Clarissa, like used to be nicer and now like completely blames her for her boyfriend's death / Alex's brother's death. And Alex blames herself.
Now, do we find out like a Kraken killed him?
No, he just died.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. But he also appears to her, because like the whole thing with the game, without giving away too much for people that are interested in playing it, is like time loops. So like she keeps going back and forth in time and like seeing her brother and like figuring out that like this island is a time loop. And she's kind of the only person that realizes it. And so she has to try and like do things to break the loop. And so like the different choices you make, you can either close the loop or you can leave it open, and it like everyone's like end story changes. Like people can die, people can like decide to go to college, people can decide not to, like it's this whole thing.
Is there a way for you to choose to be with your stepbrother?
No. Oh. Unfortunately. I don't think you can ever romance him.
Can I read the official bio of Jonas?
Yes, please.
Okay, it reads, Alex's new stepbrother, wiser than his years, with a mordant wit. He's had a slightly rough life and carries the hint of a mysterious past. There are rumors that he's been arrested, but the details of his supposed crime are unknown. Still missing his mother, who succumbed to cancer, he isn't quick to open up to new people, though at his core is a good-natured boy who can be extraordinarily loyal when he trusts you. Think Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Brick or River Phoenix in Stand By Me.
Yeah.
Those are different characters.
Yeah,
but
true.
Also, very different. Two characters I'm attracted to, so.
Yeah, yep. They're both hot. Like, it just reinforces Jonah is hot. I do think Jonah maybe killed Alex's brother. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry that happened. Like,
no,
it's a shame.
No, Ryan.
I'm sorry. I wish it weren't true.
You monster.
Also, I'm reading the trivia. When describing his ideal girl, it is revealed that the characters fit exactly with Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah, same.
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
No, this is
She's 17. She's 17. I'm sorry. I forgot to say that.
I still think household is a big piece of the step situation to me. But again, I don't have any steps. So maybe I would be so much more grossed out.
Yeah. Because also they're meeting that day and they're meeting outside of the house and they're meeting on this island.
If you meet as step siblings.
Yeah.
So would it clean it up for you, Mogi, if they met as strangers and then only after their heated affair found out they were technically step siblings?
See, that's VC Andrews.
Yes, and they turn out to be siblings,
and they're actually deeply related.
I think a big piece of it is: are you adults?
Yeah,
even if you're only 20, but like if you're going to live in the same household as siblings, you can't be in love with each other.
No.
Or you can be, but I'm not going to root for you. It's like the show The Fosters has two teens who one is biologically related to one of the moms, and then the other is a foster kid who joins the family at like age 16, but she's integrated. She lives as part of the family. But there's still a romance with her and her foster brother.
Oh,
that's like simmering.
No, I don't like that.
Yes, it's the worst. But to me, it's the worst part of the show. And then at one point, she thinks she's ruined being adopted by that family forever. And so, spoilers for like the fourth season. Sorry, guys. But you had a chance to watch it. She sleeps with him. Because she's like so depressed. Because she's like, I don't get to be part of this family. He's depressed because he lost like a piano competition or some shit, but she's like so sad that she's like
different levels of depression. Yeah.
She's like, my one chance at ever having a family is now destroyed, and he's like, oh, I don't get to go to Juilliard.
Piano competition.
Yeah, is this like a Devil Went Down to Georgia scenario? Has he lost his eternal soul?
I've had enough bad solo and ensemble competition experiences to know
Patrick gets it.
That sucks.
It's like the Idlewild performance camp. I don't know if that's real, but that's what is on the show. Anyway, so they sleep together, and then the next morning, she gets a call from her foster mom being like, we worked it out, you're going to get adopted.
Stop!
Yes.
Oh, it's the worst nightmare. Absolute nightmare!
Yes. So it's good for drama, but it's... Like,
she's how old at that point?
But you can't root for it. She's like 17? Well, she has a little brother.
She's got like 8 months left to live in with them.
Well, yes, but if they had waited, or honestly, don't wait, just... put your sexual feelings in a little box, lock it up, throw it in the ocean, and be siblings. I recognize it's a drama and like whatever. But like I could never root for them to be together. Like, though, just like that's how I feel about steps. If they're in the same if you're supposed to be a family, you have to like figure out how to be a family.
Yeah, you have to pick which role.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Ryan, I'm gonna offer you something and you're gonna tell me how you feel about it.
Okay.
All right. You've come home for the holidays. You're at your mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
Quarantine happens. But right before quarantine happens, your mom's like, I want you to meet somebody.
Okay.
Two people to be exact.
Okay. I was like, if it's one person, this is going to get really complicated. Okay.
My new husband and his adult son.
Okay.
He's grown. He's 38. He's a contractor. He's really good with his hands. Now.
Really good.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, and there's sparks. And you're like, but this is fine, right? Because like we're both adults and we both have our own lives and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Quarantine happens. And there's like an outbreak in the town. So you have to stay in this house.
The four of us.
Yes. What do you do?
I mean, what do I do is I shut it down completely because I'm having anxiety because there's fucking... an outbreak. The last thing I'm going to do is prioritize liaisons.
Right. Okay.
But how about this? Uh-huh. My mom and the boyfriend go to go pick up some pizza across the state border in Maryland.
Okay.
And then the state border is closed behind
across the state.
So you're stuck with the guy in the house.
Yes. If it's just me and the guy in the house, love can blossom.
Love can blossom.
But my mom's in the house. It would be
no. Okay, what about your mom? Goes, okay, hold on. Your mom goes to get the pizza.
Okay,
the new husband and his son, your new brother, are there.
Oh no!
And the guy's nice. He just like, but he putters around in the yard.
But how horrible. Because like the dynamic is so, that's the most awkward thing. That's like, because even just like making, do I cook for them? Like what? We have he's no a established really good, no, dynamics.
Okay. This is what happens. So you're like feeling awkward. You're like, I don't know what to do. Like, do I cook for them? Like, are they guests in my home? Like, I don't, what's the dynamic?
Yes.
He's like, you know what? Dad's out in the yard.
Okay.
Your new stepfather.
Great.
Is out out in the yard gardening. And the guy, he's like, I love cooking. I just don't know how to bake. I would like to put together like a nice dinner. So wow. I'm going to like make some like chicken cacciatore or whatever. And like, I don't know. I just think it'd be nice just to sit down and kind of like unwind with like a really nice meal. I'm going to grab a couple of beers and like we can sit on the porch and like eat now. So he's like willing to contribute.
Okay.
Now what's happening now?
I mean, I think I contribute, but I also think that I feel, I think I'm awkward as hell.
I can imagine that.
I'm so awkward. Like I go into my room and I'm like in the room, like, for many hours a day.
Like, oh my God.
I come out for meals, like, but I'm just like, I'm so awkward because it's not even my house. It's someone I'm by proxy sort of hosting, but also with two strangers who know each other very well. They're related. And I'm super attracted to one of them, but also like, is this okay? I don't know. I like, there's a lot going on, Kelly.
You get to make your own rules here, Ryan. That's the beauty of it.
Okay, so
but I barely know the stepdad character. But
you're living with him now. You'll get to know him.
You can get to know him. And also, he's quiet. He enjoys doing like a little bit of yard work for the sake of doing the yard work. So he's outside a lot. He's not.
He's staying out of the way, possibly on purpose.
Yeah.
But don't look that gift horse in the mouth. Just.
Yeah.
I think I probably play it very like old school. I don't think I'm sleeping with the son yet.
Okay.
I think so, we talk all day. Like we'll talk. We hang out. We have good times. We'll binge watch
TV. Do you write
TV.
Him letters when you're not talking?
From your bedroom? Because I think I fall in love with him. I'm not saying I'm not in love with this man. I just don't. I feel like I would. And I'm probably worried about my mom. She's trapped in the state.
Yeah, she is trapped at the Pizza Hut in Maryland.
And the rest of my family still exists. You guys still exist. I'm still worried about, there's been a, like, I'm still worried about the world.
But Mogi,
okay, so then, okay, wait. To- so then he's like, you guys are kind of like separating out the housework and stuff. And then, like, one day you have, like, a migraine and, like, your chores to do the laundry.
Oh, no.
And you're, like, you just can't even deal with it that day. So then the next day, you're, like, oh, okay, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. Because he gave you space to, like, you know, be in the dark and whatever. Mm-hmm. So the next day, like, I feel a little bit better. I'll tackle my chore today. And you go into the laundry room and it's all folded.
Aw.
And there's a little, and as you're unfolding, you know, you're putting some stuff away. There's, like, a little slip of paper. And it says, like, I can't stop thinking about you.
Wait, is it signed at least?
It says, his name is...
Geert.
Oh, okay. His name is Geert Jr. This is the problem. His name is Geert Jr. His dad is
so maybe
Geert.
His dad is thinking about me? See, this is the problem.
So then it says... dash G, and so you don't know if it's from
this is horrible
Junior or Geert Senior.
I might throw Fletcher and my mom's Shih Tzu Lucky in the car and go try to get my mom. I may give up on these guys.
Yeah,
it's
you're gonna hunker down in the Pizza Hut, start a new life.
Oh my God!
Here's the thing: that Pizza Hut franchise, owned by a father son. Team.
Yeah, it's owned by a father-son team.
Go.
The whole thing starts over again.
Okay, I think that I just live in a state of anxiety and awkwardness, like the whole outbreak, right? And then, hopefully, at the end, me and Geert Jr. get in the car and we just go on our own trip and the two of us spend time alone.
Okay, but when you go to the Pizza Hut,
yeah,
which is owned by Fjord Senior and Junior.
Yep.
Bitter rivals of Yurt and Yurt Jr.
Yeah, they're
by the
rivals,
way.
And like we're
so
one,
now I'm in a love triangle.
Yeah,
possibly a love
square
star. What is it?
Yeah, it's a love star of David.
A love pentagon.
A love pentagon. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually I come back to California and I just give up on all of this.
And you're like, guys, I have just had the craziest summer. And we're like, okay.
I have like 17 hot takes we need to get through, you guys.
That's true. This experience would give me a lot of hot takes. So yeah, so in that case, it's okay to hook up with your stepbrother.
Or two, because now your mom is maybe falling in love with
your senior. Oh, wait, mom is a bigamist?
She thought she was never going to get back to the house.
She That's thought right. she was stuck forever at Fjord's Pizza Hut.
When Sean closes a Gert, he opens a Fjord.
That's right. She's not going to let the pandemic shut down her desire to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Well, good for her. I still kind of resent that she left me in such an awkward position.
She couldn't. There were armed guards everywhere. She couldn't.
No, honestly, I probably already resented her for leaving me in the house with these two guys when she went to get pizza.
She was just going to get pizza.
I offered to get the pizza. Right. I was happy to get a break from two strange men in the house. But yeah. Oh, Gert Jr.
Gert is like he found the little because you left the slip. He found the slip and he is like, she doesn't even love me.
Or he's like, what the hell is this note my dad wrote? We don't know.
Oh my god, he does funny because he's awkward like me. So he finds the note. He's like, my dad's a creep, and then he comes and finds me. But again, away from our parents. The parents part is too much.
Yeah. So he comes and finds you, and he's like, and he has the note, and he's like, I need you to know that, like, I love you. And you're like, so it was you that wrote the note? And he's like, no, that was my dad. But separately, I also love you. It's just a coincidence that my dad, while showing no interest in you whatsoever and has spends 19 hours a day outside, can't stop thinking about you.
Yep. And then, meanwhile, Fjord Sr. is falling madly in love with Drew Mogi, who is like, no, no, I am recently married to Gert. You may know him.
And he's like, who?
I fucking hate Gert Sr. He breaks quarantine, drives to your house, murders Gert Sr. Now, the blood feud between the Gerts and the Furts are in full swing. Fjord.
Yeah, Fjord.
Oh my god.
No, Mogi, you are in a straight up fucking blood war between your mom's new, like, I guess, romantic murder champion and you're the son of your lover. Because you're like, or your lover whose father was just murdered. Because you're like, no, Gert Jr., let it go. We can be together now. But he has to avenge his father.
Yeah, again, I think I just come back to California.
It's just too much for you.
That's a great call. Well, could you get Gert to come to California with you, or would you even want that at that point?
Gert?
But
Junior. Oh, yeah, Gert's the first one. Yeah. Yes,
the Gert, living Gert.
Yes, I think he's invited, but he has to let go of the blood feud.
He says he says he's let go of it, but at night you find him writing like insane letters to Fjord, and they're just like, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
And also them? their Facebook posts.
Oh, that Facebook post.
Yeah, he's typing.
I think I suggest he speak to a therapist. Because I think at that point he's going.
But my father's killer is still out there.
Oh no! Is this how Gert talks?
Yeah.
Ooh. Unfortunately,
it's
and
part
so
of
does
why you
Fjord.
Fell in love with him.
Yeah. So, like, when you read the note, it was like, I can't stop thinking about you.
Oh, my God. This is horrible.
Honestly, right now, this is starting to feel like a very special episode of Same Day Shipping.
It does. I do like that we've forced Ryan to do this. this like choose your own adventure in hell.
No, it's this is horrible. Staying in a house that isn't even mine with two strange men.
Both of which are madly in love with
me. Both of them are madly in love with me. Meanwhile, everyone I care about is out in the world possibly succumbing to some kind of outbreak.
Yeah, you don't know.
I'm separated. I mean, I guess it's making me like my current situation more in contrast.
There you go.
Like, at least in this apartment, it may just be me and my dog, but there are no two strange men.
With letters.
With letters.
Like, dads. Yeah.
Colin, you got a crossroad ship?
I do, but one that just will never live up to the drama of what we just concocted.
Truth.
I feel like we got to just rapid fire off the rest of them.
So I chose two characters that are not only at a crossroad, but they are on a fury road. ship for the week is Capable and Nux from Mad Max Fury Road. And that is the young woman who is freed from the like compound, and they're all like on the road. And she discovers Nux, who is the, what do they call him? Death Boys? Battley Boys?
Yeah, Remember Boys. Yeah,
Remember Boys.
I don't know what they're called. But I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. But there
Nicholas
is...
Nicholas Holt,
exactly.
Yes.
Yes. You know, and they're like, they're completely like opposites on the like character, like two-dimensional character trope spectrum, right? One is a personification of death. He's terminally ill with tumors and lung diseases,
yeah,
and his whole purpose in life is to kill and to die. And she is someone who is forced into slavery with the sole purpose of creating more offspring for Joe, the leader of the like horrible dystopian society. Through circumstances in his case and, you know, like planning and, you know, like a huge caper in hers, they like cast off these things and they meet each other in the middle when he, when Nux tries to kill himself and fails and, like kill himself in battle. And he's really depressed about it. And she like gives him a fresh outlook. Like, you can live though. Like there's life to be lived even for someone who's like terminal and whole life is violence. And ultimately, you know, I ship it because it ends with him sacrificing his life to save hers. And he gets to die and go to the gates of Valhalla, and she gets to witness him, which is like a big important thing in his religion. And it's very sad and depressing. And that's how I like my ships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good depressing ship.
I just wanted to say that you talking about Mad Max Fury Road made me want to buy it on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking at it and I found an Amazon review of this movie.
Ooh.
Oh.
Called Vroom Vroom.
Wait, good is this written by Como?
It's in all caps.
Vroom vroom.
Before
I'm
watching this movie, I used to type like a normal person. Then I watched Mad Max Fury Road, and now I can only type in all caps. I barely have time for punctuation, and I cannot check my spelling errors. Now in my head, 24/7, I hear revving engines and dum 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 wah music in my head. This movie will not only knock your socks off, it will light them on fire and blow them up. This movie is the most metal. This movie has so much testosterone that I feel like a young boy reaching to puberty every time I watch it. I am a grown woman.
It is a wild movie.
I love that movie. I think I saw it like 3 times in theaters.
It's so good.
I was so overstimulated in theaters, yes, when I saw it. I walked out and I was like, I kind of hated that experience and have since watched it like 5 more times because it, yeah, is truly amazing.
No, that was me too. Like, coming out of that movie, I felt like high almost.
Yeah, I felt amazing. I was like, I can't die.
Oh, I thought my heart was going to explode in my chest.
Oh, man. So good.
They're war boys.
War boys. Yes.
They're the boys of war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's this moment when they first meet Capable and Nux, where, like, he's he's so devastated over his like failure to kill Mad Max and like, you know, fulfill his mission. And really all he cares about is killing himself. But, yeah. You know, there's the whole thing where Mad Max is their prisoner and becomes his blood bag. Like, he's sick, mm-hmm. and so he's using Mad Max as, like, a fucking, like, he's got an IV connecting their two bodies, so he can, like, go out and battle more. And then Mad Max, like, escapes and gets a rig and, like, kills his friends, and he's so ashamed that, like, his battling buddies, what war boys, his fellow war boys, see his blood bag, who's supposed to be, like, his subject, like, escape and kill and, like, help the villains escape and stuff like that. And he's, like, so devastated. And Capable just, like, lays down next to him. And she's like, yeah, but it's all good, dude. Like, that shit's all kind of bullshit.
That is cute.
Who else has a crossroad ship?
I got one.
Give it.
Did any of you play Octopath Traveler on the
Nintendo
Switch?
No, but I want
Switch?
To.
So Octopath Traveler is a like an old school sort of turn-based RPG from Square Enix, the Final Fantasy people.
Okay.
The game is formatted where at the beginning you choose between 8 different heroes, and like throughout the course of the game you end up like collecting all 8 heroes, and they all have like their own separate path that they go through on the game. And one of them is this dude Alfin, who is an apothecary, and I'm gonna read the description that the game, like, as you are selecting the characters, which are, it's, you know, you know nothing about these characters before you start, but the description reads, your name is Alfin and you are an apothecary. You treat the wounded and sick in a small village amid the babbling brooks of the Riverlands. Stricken ill as a child, you are saved by a traveler who asked for nothing in return, inspiring you to follow in his footsteps. Though hesitant to leave your home, the only home you've ever known, your best friend convinces you to follow your dream, wherever that may lead you. So this friend, this best friend, is another character named Zeph. And Zeph, his father was like the doctor in the town, and when you got sick, his dad couldn't heal you. You were instead healed by a like traveling apothecary that no one knew the identity of and is just like built up in your mind as this like legendary healer, right? And it's someone that you model yourself after so that like you can go out into the world and like just heal people and be awesome.
Yeah.
And like Zeph, you know, even though like you and Zeph are both like healers and like you come up together, you know, and Zeph is like, I'm going to stay here and like help out the town. But like you should go, you know, you've got this like you have this like model of a wandering healer that like you should fulfill that role. And then like you do, right? Like that's the whole game is like you go out and you're like on this journey to like basically do what this wandering healer did for you, right? And you come across this dude, Agen, who is another healer. He doesn't have like the same like philosophy that you do as far as like healing goes. Like, you're like, I'm going to heal everyone. And like, I was poor and this dude healed me. I'm going to heal everyone else who needs it. But Agen is like, nah, you have to start like, you need to choose who you heal. Don't heal bad people. Don't heal people that can't pay you. Like, he's got all these rules. Then you find out that Agen is sick, and he has the disease that you had when you were a kid, and you like graciously heal him and then go back to your hometown. You're like, fuck you, buddy. Like, I'm healing you. So like, you know, not really fuck you, but there's like, there's an element of like, you get to be so far above like his fucked up ideology, and then you can go back and hang out with your buddy Zeph. And so it's Alfin and Zeph that I just want those two like to just like believe in the power of healing and in like helping everyone who needs it. I just love them so much.
Aww. And it totally is a fuck you in the sense of like, fuck your moral structure. Like, yeah. I'm such a good and like equitable healer that I will even heal you who is like actively against my philosophy.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Alfin and Zeph.
Yeah, it's very cute.
Mogi, you got a crossroad ship?
Yes. Okay. So originally I was going to talk about the movie The Heavenly Kid, but I think I've already talked about it before. And then I was like, let's dig back to the origin of the crossroad ship for this week. And it's Fast and Furious. And I don't think I've talked about my number one Fast and Furious ship. I've seen all of these films. But no relationship sparkles with as much charm as the Han and Giselle ship. Now, Han is like, he's a very good driver, as most of them are. And Giselle is treated by most of the characters in Fast and Furious as like the token hot girl. But Han is just like genuinely respects her abilities and they fall in love and it's really great. But then she dies. And then it's actually in the past because chronologically for the real world, Han has been dead because the movie Tokyo Drift takes place after Fast 7, even though it was the
third film movie. Yeah.
But yeah. Well, partially because they wanted to bring Han back. I don't really understand why they did. It was dumb. But so like all of the things that happen in 4, 5, and 6 actually happen before, or 4, 5, 6, and 7 actually happen before 3. But Han and Giselle are just like very cute and very nice. And so it's very sad when she gets killed. They're just two like charming characters. There's not a lot of like, other than the, you know, murders, there's not a lot of drama with them, which is nice for Fast and Furious. And I'm very excited about the next. I don't think he will appear in the next, this video game if it comes out, but in Fast 9, which is set for next year, at least right now, in Fast 9, he comes back from the dead, and I'm really excited. And I hope he's very pissed about Giselle. I hope he comes back to avenge her death specifically, but we'll see. I'm very excited
about it. So does he come back from the dead, or does it take place in a time when he's alive?
No, it takes place after he's been murdered, and no one has seen him. And so it was like a huge deal when he showed up in the trailer. Like, Han's alive! What?
And, hell yeah.
But it was funny because I just read this on Wikipedia. I didn't know about this. Apparently, the hashtag Han's alive
came with that's on the very internet. Confusing
and so
to another
a lot
fan
of
base.
Star Wars fans got really confused.
Oh my God.
And they were like, what? And it's like, no. Our Han's alive. Fast 5 Han. But yeah, so
amazing.
It's exciting. I'm excited to see him come back. Like I said, I hope it's also, and I know we talked about this. We talked a little Hobbs and Shaw at some point in the last few months, but like Deckard Shaw used to be a bad guy. I think he, at one point, his brother was the one who killed Han. So,
oh no.
Yeah. So like, I don't know that Han is going to be down with all of our good guys right now, because our good guys are a mixture of people who used to be bad guys, but I'm into it. I'm like, whatever Han wants to do, I'm here for it. He's just, yeah, like I said, he's very charming, which is an important thing in these movies, because it's not like the things that happen, you know, the script doesn't really give you a lot of characterization. So like, if you're like, Ludacris just shows up and he's Ludacris, and Tyrese shows up, he's Tyrese, and then Han shows up and he's Han. And I'm just so excited to see what happens. Like I said, I hope he's there to avenge his love's murder. Or maybe she'll come back. Maybe Giselle will be
depending
alive.
Depending on the explanation, by the time we get to Fast X, she comes back as well.
She's now playing Wonder Woman. She's moved on.
I mean, can you ever move on from family?
To be Wonder Woman, probably. Yeah.
For that kind of money, yeah.
To be Wonder Woman, that's the only reason to leave your family.
I mean, that's what Diana does, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I like the idea of returning from the grave to avenge someone else's death. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
super cool.
That's cool.
And we won't know what's happening. It'll be gobbledygook. I don't think they're going to go full science fiction, like he's a reanimated corpse. I'm sure they'll just say he like faked his death for some reason.
I mean, if they do it even like in a, like maybe not reanimated corpse, but like a mix like in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where Coulson is like, yeah, it looked like he was dead, but really he was being brainwashed by a praying mantis of some sort. Like,
is that what it is? I thought his body is like literally an inorganic body.
It
but he
could
has
be,
all
honest,
his memories.
I'm basing it on like the first half of the first season, which is as far as I got, which I is think, just flashbacks.
Yes, I think eventually we find out that his like brain and memories were uploaded into a different, because he has like, he's very strong now.
Is he an LMD?
He may be an LMD. I don't know if they use that term, monology.
Okay.
I also did not continue with Ages of S.H.I.E.L.D. I do feel sometimes bad about it, like, because it feels like it was, I should watch it.
Right. Were you going to say made for you?
Well, no, because it wasn't really, because obviously I tried it, I didn't love it, but I was like, it feels like I should be watching it.
Yeah, but yeah. I remember feeling the same way when the show was released. I was like, oh, they made me a TV show, and then like not really enjoying it.
I'm like, oh, wow, okay, it's like this. And then now, this season, I found out that Agent Carter's boyfriend from the show, who before Endgame, she married
the guy with the limp?
Yes. Yeah. He's on the season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What?
And even that hasn't, I read recaps of it, but that hasn't even gotten me to watch it. I'm like refusing to do my duty.
Colin, do we have any questions from Twitter?
We sure do.
If you would like to have your questions read and answered on the show, you can tweet at us at ShippleDips, that's Shipple like nipple and Dips like nips.
So this one comes from a dear friend of the show, Mothwoman, bride of Mothman. At ShippleDips, I need advice. My SO buys me gifts based on in-jokes. We have like a big stuffed flamingo and mall ninja stars. I love the thought, but I don't want this stuff anymore. Can I get rid of these things without hurting my SO's feelings? They will notice if it's gone.
That's tough.
I think it is tough, but it's also like, do they want you to keep a shrine to inside jokes in your home?
I mean, they think so much about bringing the inside joke into the physical that they give you these gifts in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That means they hold it in pretty high regard, right?
I think, okay, the next question I get, and I think it was implied or I inferred it. Do you live with them?
It sounds like Bride of Mothman lives with Mothman.
Okay, because I think then you just have to be like, let's declutter.
Yeah,
right. And then you Kondo.
I think you just like, because if you're a person who's noticing this stuff and you're not feeling sentimental about it, I think you can downsize. But I think you have to be like, you can't, even if it is your primary objective, you can't make the primary objective get rid of junk my boyfriend gave me. It has to be like,
right,
let's get rid of the extra stuff in the house. Won't it feel
That's
so
right.
nice?
And then, yeah. So one of the effects is the goal that you secretly have.
Yeah.
You have to start with something that you bought.
Oh, 100%.
And be like,
yeah,
we're going to
get
rid of this. Oh, and these ninja stars, too.
So recently I was helping my SO clean out her bedroom at her place. And we found a stuffed kangaroo that I gave her. That was a prop from a show. Like, there was no thought put into it. Literally, there was no financial investment in this stuffed kangaroo. She told me the day I gave it to her that she hated it and did not want it. And the joke became that I insisted she keep it. And we finally let go of that stuffed kangaroo.
Colin,
in the
you
most-
say the joke became you insisted. Are you saying that as a bit you insisted she keep it?
Yes, as a bit, I was like, oh, but how could you get rid of this thing that neither of us care about?
Yeah.
And we
well,
finally
I'm glad that you guys
I'm glad it
got rid
of
it.
Yeah, I was like, if this was a hot take, I was definitely on her side. As a bit, I forced you to keep this in your house.
So I guess what I'm saying is if I could make it, anybody can.
No, but I think, I think you just have to. And but that's also part of, right, isn't that part of the living together dynamic is you have to, like, agree on what level of stuff you keep in your home?
Yeah, I almost think that makes it too easy then. Like, I think we should assume that they're not
living together.
Oh, my God, that's worse.
I mean,
I think
it's
maybe
it's just harder.
Maybe you make an area of your home that's just that stuff, so that when they come over, they can see like, wow, there's no room on this shelf for any more jokey jokes.
What if on accident, though, then they go like, wow, you love it so much you made a little area of just the stuff mm-hmm. I give you. I can't wait to do more.
Now you have provided the shrine.
Okay. Maybe it's a toy box.
Okay. Nothing else will fit inside here. No, it's this thing closed. That I keep under my bed.
What if it's a fucking target and you use the ninja stars that you mentioned in the tweet to eviscerate all other inside joke gifts?
And then you're like, isn't it fun when we destroy these things?
Yeah.
It is. Joke gifts are really hard.
Yeah, they're
because
hard.
The joke is only in the moment.
Yeah.
Unless a bit is created where you can't get rid of it because your SO is going to pretend to be hurt. But like,
yeah.
In the joke is the moment.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing you need to like strive to normalize, right? That like it was very funny when you gave this to me. Now I'm getting rid of it because it's not funny to just have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also if there's like a use, right? Like if the person's like, I don't know, because I'm thinking specifically of those Big Bear glasses that Ryan almost got Patrick.
I didn't yes. do it though.
But I feel like if you did, it would be, it's something you can actually, like you can still use that.
Right. And like, it was funny how mad I got at the Big Bear Brewing Company.
You were yeah. so mad.
I would love to be reminded of how mad I got.
Yeah.
While I sipping mean, a beverage.
We can yeah. also remind you of that by like playing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and serving you cold French fries.
And I'll go get us waters from the side table.
It's been 3 years since we put those motherfuckers on blast, and the time has come.
Big Bear Brewing. You failed
I mean, they're
us.
Probably closed.
Yeah, exactly.
That, great point. Probably
no, they're
closed.
Open, and people are just getting COVID there.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But not hot food.
Not hot food.
Hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.